His name was Jim. And he was a member of Campus Crusade for Christ, Crew Ministries today. But this was back in the 70s, back up at Penn State University. And this is when Linda and I were at Penn State. And if I remember correctly, Jim was a tall young man and pretty good looking, but he had a problem. Jim was blind. He'd come every week to Campus Crusade College Life Meeting, loved the Lord, would sing, and just loved to be with God's people. And when we'd go out to do something, we always would try to take Jim with us. And one day, we got together, a bunch of guys got together, and we decided to go on a hike. We were going to climb Mount Nittany. You know, Nittany Lions? You're familiar with that, your favorite football team. So we went out to climb Mount Nittany. So we were climbing the mountain, and it was kind of in the evening, and the sun was going down, and there was a beautiful sunset. And somebody said these words. Somebody said, "Oh, man, look at that sunset. Look at those colors. It's just beautiful. Wow." And then they realized, the one that said that realized, that Jim was with us. And that Jim couldn't see the sunset. He couldn't see the colors. And he kind of, the one that said it, kind of, I think, felt a little bit bad. And he said, "Oh, Jim, I'm sorry. I forgot you were with us. And I'm sorry, because I know you can't see the sunset." And Jim said, "Don't feel sorry for me. No, I can't see that sunset. I can't see colors, what colors are. But I can't see all the bad stuff in the world either. And the first thing I will one day see, when my eyes are opened, one day I'm going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a sight that's going to be." I'll tell you, to see the Lord. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? One day, seeing the Lord. The greatest need. What's the greatest need in the Church of Jesus Christ today? I think the greatest need is for revival. For revival. And how does revival come? I believe revival, it's an act of God. It's a sovereign act of God. But it comes when the people of God, by the grace of God, catch a fresh glimpse of the glory of God. And when you see Jesus for who he is, you can never be the same. When you see God, when a person sees God, it can't be the same. Abraham saw God, you remember? And his life was changed. He became a man of the tent and a man of the altar. And he became the father of all them that believe. Jacob, good old Jacob, saw God. In fact, he wrestled with God. And his life was changed. And he was made into Israel, the Prince of God. Moses saw God. You remember at the burning bush? He saw God. And God made a simple shepherd into the greatest leader in the Old Testament. I'll tell you, you can't see God and stay the same. Saul in the New Testament saw God. You remember on the road to Damascus? And man, oh man, was his life changed? Oh, you better believe the persecutor became a preacher. The murderer became the greatest missionary that ever lived. The blasphemer became a great believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you see God, when you see Jesus for who he is, your life will never be the same. I'll tell you, you'll be revived. Your life will be revived. What we need today, I think, is to catch a glimpse of the glory of God. We need to see Jesus. And if we do that, our lives will be revived. Our homes will be revived. Our churches will be revived. Worship. Worship, Brother Jim and Carl, will never be the same if we see Jesus for who he is. Praise God. Several months back, I started a series. And you remember I entitled it, "I Saw the Lord, God in the Book of Isaiah." This morning, I want to start a new series of messages entitled, "I Saw Jesus, Christ in the Book of Isaiah." Now, is Jesus in the Old Testament? Is he in the Old Testament? You better believe Christ is in the Old Testament. In fact, he told some people, some of the religious leaders. And John 5, I believe it's verse 39, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it's these that are written about me. Yet you're unwilling to come to me that you may have life. It's the, what was he talking about? And it's these. The New Testament? No. The Old Testament. That's what he was talking about. The Old Testament is written about Jesus Christ. In fact, that's what he told the disciples on the road to Emmaus and in the upper room. You remember? He explained to them what was in the law of Moses, all the prophets, and the writings, all the things that were written about him. You know what? Wouldn't you like to have been there? That's one of the places in the Bible I would have loved to have been, when he opened their minds in the upper room to understand all the things in the old, in the Tanakh, the Jewish Old Testament, the Torah, the Navaim, and the Kathavim, the law, the prophets, and the writings. He opened their minds so that they could understand all the things that were written about him. I'd have loved to have been there. I'd love to, but you weren't there, I wasn't there, so you have to listen to me. Well, what are you going to do? But Jesus is in the Old Testament, and Jesus is all, it permeates the book of Isaiah. So today this is just introduction to Jesus in Isaiah. So first of all, Christ in the book of Isaiah, some general facts. Let me give you some general facts about the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah has been called the Bible in miniature. The Bible in miniature. It consists of 66 chapters. How many books are there in the Bible? 66 books are in the Bible. Isaiah can be divided into two sections. Chapters 1 through 39. And then chapters 40 through chapter 66. 39 chapters and 27 chapters. How many books in the Old Testament? 39. How many books in the New Testament? 27. It's like a Bible in miniature. It's interesting, the first 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah, the emphasis is on judgment of sin. Judgment of sin. Although, let me say this. All throughout there, the first 39 chapters, you have the grace of God and you have the message of hope. That's kind of like the Old Testament, right? Old Testament, the emphasis is on judgment, the emphasis is on the law, but all throughout the Old Testament, you have grace and hope also. It's found there. And then you have 27 chapters of Isaiah, the last corresponding to the 27 books of the New Testament. Emphasis is on salvation, deliverance, and comfort. And like the New Testament, interesting. Chapter 40, you know what chapter 40 of Isaiah begins with? The ministry of John the Baptist. That's where you have the one crying in the wilderness, make a way for our God. Make a highway for our God. That's chapter 40. It begins with that. New Testament begins with the ministry of John the Baptist. But what does Isaiah end with? It ends with the new heavens and the new earth. What's the New Testament end with? The new heavens and the new earth. Wow. This is kind of pretty neat, huh? I mean, having said all that, let me just say this, because I know some people out there are already saying this. There's no chapter divisions in the original, okay? But I still think this is interesting, and it's a way of remembering the outline of the book of Isaiah, okay? Isaiah, the prophet, by name, is mentioned 22 times in the New Testament. One commentator states that Isaiah is quoted in the New Testament 85 times. 85 times. 61 separate passages are referred to in 85 citations. Isaiah is quoted specifically or referred to, listen to this, in 20 of the 27 books of the New Testament. Isn't that interesting? That's a lot. There are quotes from all the different sections of Isaiah. Attributed to Isaiah. Now, why is that important? Because the liberals, many liberal scholars, say that Isaiah was written by more than one author. See, they see the different divisions in the book of Isaiah and say, well, One person wrote that portion, and another person, another Isaiah, wrote this portion, Deutero-Isaiah. Well, you know what? Jesus quotes from all the different portions of the book of Isaiah, and he attributes the book to Isaiah the prophet. So I think I'll stick with Jesus. What do you think? Instead of the liberals. Yeah, I think I'll stick with Jesus. And quoted throughout there. Isaiah the prophet wrote the whole book. J. Vernon McGee, listen to what he says. He says, Isaiah is discernible and conspicuous in the New Testament. Isaiah is chiseled into the rock of the New Testament with the power tool of the Holy Spirit. So man, oh man, you find a lot about Isaiah in the New Testament, quoted in the New Testament. Some general comments on Christ in Isaiah. But first of all, have you ever seen one of those books, Where's Waldo? Do you ever do one of those books and you open it up and there's usually a page full of all kinds of pictures and everything, and you got to find this little guy in there. And sometimes he's hard to find. When it comes to Jesus in the book of Isaiah, he's not hard to find. He's not like that. He is all over the book. In fact, the book of Isaiah has been called the fifth gospel. The fifth gospel, because it records so much about the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah's name means Jehovah is salvation, and he is called the fifth evangelist. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Isaiah, because he writes so much about Jesus Christ. A man named Steve Hamm, in an article, Did Isaiah Know About Jesus Christ Centuries Before He Came to Earth?, writes, if you read Isaiah, you cannot miss the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, many people have called Isaiah the fifth gospel because of how much it mentions the coming Messiah and how much detail is given regarding the good news of salvation. Beside the Psalms, Isaiah is the most quoted book in the New Testament, specifically when it comes to Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, you have a lot about Jesus. One of my professors at Trinity Seminary, Gleason Archer, wrote, Isaiah sets forth the doctrine of Christ in such a full detail that he has been described as the evangelical prophet. Deeper Christological insights are to be found in his work than anywhere else in the Old Testament. And Isaiah, it seems, was given one of the clearest and maybe the most extensive view of Jesus. It's all, he's in this book. He is in this book. And it's interesting. Do you remember in Acts chapter 8, you remember Philip was up in Samaria and he's preaching in a revival. And it's an angel comes to him and says, Philip, I want you to leave the revival and go out in the desert. You imagine that? Here you are preaching in a revival and people come and know the Lord, and an angel comes and says, I want you to leave the revival and go to the desert. Praise God, Philip was obedient. Amen? Because he goes out in the desert, and who does he meet out in the desert? The Ethiopian eunuch. There's this guy coming along in his chariot. And the Spirit says, go up and join yourself to him. Philip runs up to the chariot. And the Ethiopian eunuch has in his hand a scroll, and he's reading. Where's he reading from? Isaiah. He's reading from Isaiah. And he's reading all these things. And Philip said, you know what? Do you understand what you're reading? He said, no, I don't know. I don't know who this is about. I don't know what they're talking about here. And Philip got up into the chariot. And beginning with the text of scripture he was reading, which was from Isaiah 53, he preached to him Jesus. He preached to him Jesus. I'll tell you, Jesus is all through the book of Isaiah. Christ in the book of Isaiah, general facts. Now let's look specifically, Christ in the book of Isaiah, specific prophecies. You know, we read in John chapter 12, those verses. And Jesus said that Isaiah actually spoke of him. He saw his glory and spoke of him. Isaiah saw the glory of Jesus Christ. What did he see? Let me just give you several things that Isaiah saw. This is over 700 years before Christ came into this earth. First of all, Isaiah saw Christ in his preexistence. Let's go to Isaiah. You got to get in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. Let's get those pages turning. Come on. Isaiah chapter 6. We'll just go through this very quickly. But what did he see? He saw Christ in his preexistence. Isaiah 6 and verse 1. And we looked at this in the last series. In the year that King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord. That word is Adonai. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw Jesus, Adonai, seated on the throne. He saw Christ in his preexistence. In the pre-incarnate state, you know, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but he didn't get his beginning in Bethlehem. He was pre-existed. In fact, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He has existed from eternity past. He is the pre-existent eternal God. He saw him in his pre-existence. Secondly, Isaiah saw Christ in his incarnation. Turn over one chapter to chapter 7, 14. And we'll be looking at this, Lord willing, next week. Isaiah chapter 7, 14. He says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. He saw the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the virgin birth of Christ. And over in chapter 9, turn to chapter 9 and verse 6. It says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. And there he sees again the incarnation, the humanity of Christ and the deity of Jesus Christ. He saw that he would become a man, that God would become a man. And in 9:6 he states it, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And he saw him and he heard his name. A third thing that he saw was he saw his earthly ministry. Look over in chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. There in those verses, it talks about that he would be a great light. And that light would shine in Galilee. In Galilee. And talking of the Galilean ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those verses are quoted in Matthew chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. He saw his ministry. He saw his Spirit-filled ministry in chapter 11. He saw him ministering with compassion and kindness, that a bruised reed he would not break and a smoldering flax he would not extinguish. He saw the compassion of Christ. He saw that he would heal the blind and preach the gospel to the poor. And you remember when John the Baptist was arrested, and he was taken into prison. And he sent his disciples to Jesus. And they came and said, are you the Messiah? Or should we look for another? And Jesus, he quotes out of Isaiah. He says, go tell him that the eyes of the blind are being opened up. And the gospel is being preached to the poor. No, I am the Messiah. He quoted right out of the book of Isaiah. And he tells about the response to the ministry of Jesus Christ, that the people would not believe. Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And he tells that the people would honor him only with their lips. That they would honor him only with their lips. That he'd come and he would be rejected. That is found. Isaiah saw Christ in his earthly ministry. Now turn to Isaiah 53. And when we look at Isaiah 53 in the coming weeks, this is sacred ground. This is holy ground. And Isaiah saw Christ in his suffering and in his death. He portrays Jesus as the suffering servant. He would be despised, forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He'd be spit on and struck. His appearance would be marred beyond any man. In Isaiah 53, we have this vividly portrayed. In fact, every one of the 12 verses here in Isaiah 53, there's a fulfillment in Christ's rejection and in his crucifixion. And although he was sent by God and would bear our griefs and carry our sorrows, that we would esteem him stricken of God and afflicted. 7 times we're told in this chapter that he bore our sins. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace fell upon him, but by his stripes we are healed. Amen. Like a lamb to the slaughter, he would be led away and not open his mouth. His grave would be assigned with wicked men. He was crucified with 2 thieves. And yet he was with a rich man in his death. Joseph of Arimathea came and took him and laid him in his tomb. Isaiah saw the vicarious, substitutionary suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. 700 years before he came, he saw it. And then he saw also, number 5, he saw Christ in his resurrection. Because verse 10 of chapter 53 says, after he was cut off out of the land of the living, God would allow him to see his seed or offspring, that he would see his children by faith. He would see born again Christians. He had us on his mind when he was on the cross, Steve. Had us on his mind. And he looked forward, and God would allow him to see us. And see us, the ones who were born again. And because he would prolong his days, it says. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he will divide a spoil with the strong. The suffering servant would die for the sins of the people, but he would victoriously come alive again from the dead and rise again. Amen. Praise God. 6, Isaiah saw Christ in his ministry of intercession. Because Isaiah 53:12 says, he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Christ literally did that from the cross, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He prayed for the ones that actually nailed him to the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But now, Jesus in heaven ever lives to do what? Make intercession for us. And he saw this. Isaiah saw this, that he would make intercession for the transgressors. I am so glad that right now Christ in heaven is praying for us. Aren't you glad? I am so thankful for that. Number 7, Isaiah saw Christ in his call to salvation. And Isaiah, and you can turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 and verse 1. It says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And ye who have no money, come, buy, eat, buy wine and milk without money, without cost. You know, and when we read that, my mind goes all the way to John chapter 4 in the New Testament. When the woman was at the well, and Jesus said to her, woman, if you knew who was speaking to you, you would ask, and he would give you living water.
Amen.
Living water. Jesus Christ is living water. He is water. You drink of that water, you'll never thirst again. Never thirst again. And he says here, the call to salvation is, ho, everyone who thirsts. Are you thirsty? Come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy, eat. Folks, you can't buy this living water. It's not for sale. You couldn't buy this living water. It's free. Come, buy, eat, buy wine and milk without money, without cost. And this is the call to salvation.
Amen.
Come to Christ. He will give, he is the living water. And when you have him, you'll never thirst again. He will meet those needs in the life of the person. Come. What we need to do is come to him. And then number 8, Isaiah saw Christ in his second coming. In his second coming. Isaiah 24 and 63 speak of the tribulation that will occur at the close of the age. And I'll tell you what, we think we look out there today and we think it's bad out there now. I'll tell you, it's going to get really bad.
Yes, it is.
in the tribulation time, when the church is taken away and this earth is under the control of Antichrist. We have a picture of that in the book of Isaiah. And then Isaiah describes when Jesus comes back, he's going to come back. And there's going to be a millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ would be heir to the throne of David, would sit on the throne. The kingdom that Isaiah describes is a glorious kingdom, where men will beat their swords in the plowshares and their spears in the pruning hooks. There'll be no war. They'll learn war no more. There'll be total peace on earth. A kingdom where wolf will dwell with the lamb, young lion with the calf. And the knowledge of the Lord will fill this earth as the water covers the sea. Won't that be a wonderful time? I'm going to tell you. And it's going to be, there'll be a literal reign of Christ on earth. Do you hear what I said? Literal reign of Christ on earth. These are, you say, aren't these figurative? Isn't that when it says a lion will lay down with the lamb and the child will play over the hole of the cobra and there'll be total harmony? And isn't that figurative language? Isn't that allegorical type language? No, it's literal. God is going to come. Jesus is going to come back, set up a kingdom for 1,000 years and reign on earth. Praise God. We see that here in the book of Isaiah. And he goes even beyond that to the new heavens, to the new earth, to the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ. What a book this is, the book of Isaiah. All about Jesus, with all that Isaiah sees about Jesus Christ and his saving work. No wonder he's called the fifth evangelist. No wonder that Isaiah is called the fifth gospel. And we're going to be studying about that over the next couple of weeks, Lord willing. If he tarries, we're going to be studying about that. Now, before I close, just a little application. A little application. Jesus Christ is God's Son. He came to this world to die, to suffer for our sins. When he died on the cross, he was dying as our sinless substitute. That is what Isaiah says. He died for our sins according to Scripture, according to even Isaiah. And he was buried. And on the third day, he rose again according to Scripture, according to Isaiah. He died, rose again. And if we believe in him, we'll be saved. Amen. Now, I don't know. Maybe everyone here has the Lord in their heart, but maybe you don't. Maybe there's one person that has never given their heart to Christ. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Yes. And you don't have to have money. You don't have to do something. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Christ, and he will give you eternal life. And you'll never thirst again. But I think most of us here, probably most of us here, have the Lord in our hearts. So what does this say to us? What does this say to us? Do you know him? You say, well, yeah, I've accepted him. I know. Do you know him? How well do you know him? Are you meeting with him every day in his word? Are you seeking, when you read the scripture, are you seeking Jesus Christ? Are you seeking him in his word? Because these things are written about Christ, about Jesus. He said, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It's these that are written about me. I encourage you that every time this week you open up your Bible, you say, Lord, I want to meet with you. Show me Jesus in this word. Show me Jesus in the word of God. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. Reach out and touch him and say that I love him. Open my ears, Lord. Help me to listen. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. Will you do that this week? When you read the Word of God, Lord, show me Jesus in this Word. And by the way, run to read Isaiah. Because, man, he is all through the book of Isaiah. And I just close with this. You know what? This is the greatest hymn book in the world. Because it's all about him. Amen? Amen? Lord, we just bow before you today. And Lord, I just wanted to give this introduction into this series on I Saw Jesus. Just to try to encourage, Lord, your people, encourage us to seek you in your word and seek you in the book of Isaiah. And Lord, I pray that as we go through this series, as we go into the Word of God, into different portions of the book of Isaiah, Lord, would you open our minds like you did with the disciples in the upper room and show us the things that pertain to you in this great book. And Lord, I know if we see you, we will never be the same. We want to see more and more about Jesus. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.